The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the June-July issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to go to page 8, bottom line, and see what athletes were featured this month. We have Lewis Hamilton, Formula One Ferrari. His height is 5'9". His weight is 160 pounds. He was born January 7th, 1985. Hometown, Stavanger, England. Hamilton joined Formula One in 2007 as a driver for McLaren and won his first championship the following year, becoming the youngest driver to ever do so. After joining Mercedes in 2013, Hamilton went on to win 6 more championships. He moved to Ferrari in 2025. But did you know Hamilton was the first black driver in Formula One, was named one of Time's 100 most influential people in 2020, and was knighted in 2021. Next we have Jaden Shaw, USWNT attacking midfielder. Her height is 5'6". She was born November 20th, 2004, hometown, Frisco, Texas. Shaw made her NWSL debut in 2022 for San Diego Wave FC. The same year, she was named the United States Soccer Young Female Player of the Year. In 2023, Shaw was called up to the USWNT and has totaled 8 goals and 2 assists in 26 appearances. She currently plays for the NWSL's North Carolina Courage. But did you know Shaw is the first Vietnamese American to play for the USWNT? She was 18 when she made her national team debut. And finally, Matt Davis, Denver Pioneers goaltender. His height is 6'1". His weight is 195 pounds. He was born June 16, 2001, hometown, Calgary, Alberta. Winner of 2 national championships, Davis was named the NCAA's most outstanding player in 2024 after the Pioneers won their record 10th title. After finishing his collegiate career with .921 save percentage, Davis signed an AHL contract with the San Jose Barracuda in April. But did you know Davis had a 35-save shutout in the 2024 Frozen Four final, becoming the 8th goalie in NCAA history with a shutout in a title game? Let's go back a bit. How about Let's Run Even More? When I'm managing baseball games at the treehouse, I like to employ several strategies. I never let Lizzie throw her signature whirly ball. Even if I wanted to, the treehouse lawyers would never permit it. Not after what happened last Arbor Day. Anyone remember? Anytime Buzz is batting for the other team, I have my pitcher do a little arm-flapping thing before heading into the windups. Buzz is terrified of certain birds. But the strategy I lean on the most is a pretty simple one. We run whenever we can. This is a fairly common strategy among Little League coaches who take winning too seriously. I mean, it's okay if I do it, though. The idea is that the more you make a defense throw the ball, the more likely they are to throw it away. This sometimes works at even the most elite levels. The San Francisco Giants won a game earlier this season when Elliot Ramos hit a dribbler to Rangers pitcher Luke Jackson. After fielding the ball, Jackson threw it into right field. Ramos kept motoring around the bases and scored when first baseman Jake Berger heaved the ball wide of third base. It was basically a home run that traveled 60 feet. Major League teams are running more than ever, which is a trend I can get behind. Even with a torpedo bat, not everyone can hit a home run. Me, for instance. But that's mostly because I make an effort not to bulk up, because we journalists need to remain limber so we can type fast. It's also a trend I'll take credit for. The last issue of SI Kids featured L.A. De La Cruz and the Art of the Steal. Since that cover dropped, teams have been attempting 1.03 stolen bases per game. Just 5 years ago, that number was .66. Now, we can't take all the credit. Major League Baseball's decision to make the bases bigger by 3 inches in every direction for 2023 season has helped, too. 3 inches might not seem much, but it cuts down on the distance between the bases by half a foot. Think about how many bang-bang plays you see in a typical game. If a runner has even the tiniest advantage, he's going to matter. Big league teams aren't just running more, they're running more successfully. This year, would-be base stealers have been safe on 78.5% of their attempts. 50 years ago, when teams ran about as much as they do now, that number was just 64.8%. So more than a third of stolen base attempts failed. And it's not just players who have a history of pilfering bags who are being more aggressive. O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates had 14 steals in his team's just first 35 games, putting him on a pace for 65. His career high is just 22. There's Bryce Harper. The 32-year-old Philly slugger had 6 steals in 34 games after just 7 all of last season. Neither he nor Cruz had been caught all year. Why is this so important? Obviously, being able to turn a single into a double is going to give an offense a better chance to score. But stolen bases and any other plays on baseball paths are exciting. They pit one player's speed against another's arm, and they unfold in rapid, breathtaking fashion. It's a lot more interesting than seeing a big guy jog around the bases. So how do we keep this trend alive? Maybe make the bases even bigger. And not so big that they're the size of a four-square court or anything. It'll keep runners running and challenge fielders to make great throws. And that might let a sports writer like me finally hit a home run. Can you feel Bron's Kennergy? After his playing career ends, LeBron James is a lock to join luminaries like trailblazing female hooper Rebecca Lobo, old school star George Mikan, and former Bulls guard Michael Jordan in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now he has a chance to join luminaries like trailblazing female nurse Florence Nightingale, old school monarch Queen Elizabeth II, and former Bulls guard Michael Jordan in the Celebrity Doll Museum. The king was recently immortalized in a toy form when Mattel made him its first Kenbassador, a doll based on Barbie's longtime friend Ken. He becomes the first male pro athlete to get a doll in the Barbie line. The attention to detail is impressive. James is carrying headphones while wearing solid pants, a jacket with his Just a Kid from Akron motto on the back, and a bracelet highlighting his I Promise program that provides kids in his hometown with support in school and beyond. Safe to say the doll was a hit. Fans lined up outside James' undefeated store in Los Angeles 2 days before it dropped in order to guarantee they'd be able to get their hands on one. James showed his excitement for the project in a video that accompanied the release. "Oh, he dope!" And Kim exclaimed, "That's so cool." One more realistic touch. The LeBron doll is about an inch taller than the average Ken doll. Lavi and Vivi Crane. Birthplace, Coyo Dalin, Indiana. Sports, gymnastics, Jim Cage Center. When she watches her 14-year-old sister compete, Vivi often gets more butterflies than when she prepares to perform herself. "I get really nervous until both of us are finished," says the 12-year-old in red. At the 2025 Winter Cup, the first time the two competed side by side, those nerves didn't show. In the all-around, Lavi won gold and Vivi got the silver. For now, any potential sibling rivalry has taken a back seat to a supportive relationship. "It's really fun to cheer her on and push each other," says Lavi, who won junior all-around gold at the Jeslo Trophy competition in April. Together, they hope to compete on the same team, USA Olympic squad, one day. You go, girls. Women's soccer. Are you kidding me? Nope. The NWSL is increasingly being dominated by young players who are making the most of the chance to go pro. As the United States women look to stay atop a tough, crowded global soccer landscape, there has been increasing focus on elite player development. College programs once helped the United States gain an advantage over the rest of the world, but that advantage is long gone. The NCAA season is relatively short, at barely 3 months. The level of competition is uneven. That's enormously different from the rigorous European academy model, where players train with professionals from a very young age, providing early pathways to professional opportunities. As a result, more and more young American players are joining the NWSL instead of playing in college. They now share a junior sisterhood of sorts. In one case, it's an actual sisterhood. Alyssa and Giselle Thompson were born a year apart, but grew up more like twins. "We're kind of together 24/7, says 20-year-old Alyssa, "but it's really nice." They both ran track. They played soccer together, quickly becoming two of the most prominent female youth players in the country, honing their skills alongside boys on an MLS Next team near their home in Southern California. They planned to stay together after high school. "Going to college together, going to Stanford, that was always the plan," says Giselle, 19. But the plan changed. In October 2022, Alyssa made her pitch before a massive crowd at Wembley Stadium against England. A few months later, she decommitted from Stanford and instead decided to enter the NWSL. She became the first player ever drafted straight from high school when she was taken number one by Angel City Football Club. "It was one of the hardest decisions that I've had to make," Alyssa says. "But ultimately, it came down to what I wanted to do and what my dream was, and that was being a professional athlete." Later that year, her sister decided that her best forward was going pro too. A few days before her 18th birthday in December 2023, Giselle joined her sister at Angel City. "It was so perfectly aligned with us being in L.A., being close to our family, playing for our hometown," Giselle says. Who was Tommy John? In 1974, Thomas Edward John Jr., a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, underwent an experimental surgery. The left-hander was 31 years old and is the 12th Major League Baseball season when he tore the ulnar collateral ligament, UCL, in his left elbow, pitching in a game against the Montreal Expos. The injury was previously considered career-ending, but a doctor for the Dodgers, Frank Jobe, had an idea. Replaced the torn ligament with one from John's forearm. Desperate? Radical? Revolutionary? Yes. The Bionic Man went on to finish 14 more seasons, pitching his last in 1989 as a Yankee and winning more games, 164, than he did before he went under the knife, 124. The surgery is now one of the most common in baseball, extending pitching careers for players like Steven Strasburg, Jacob DeGrom, and Justin Verlander. More than 2,500 players have had the procedure, and each one carries the namesake of the player who got it first, Tommy John. Don't strain under your brain. Answers below. The human body is made up of 206 bones and more than 600 muscles. Which of the following is true about tissue that connects them? A. Tendons make eating a chicken wing unpleasant. Ligaments connect bones to bones. Tendons connect muscles to bones. Ligaments are the fibers that make up muscles. So, number one, the human body is made up of 206 bones and more than 600 muscles. Which of the following is true about the tissue that connects them? Do 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 do. Did you guess it right? Answer A. Tendons. All right, number two. Sprains, strains, and automobiles. But which is which? Identify which of the following statements are true. Is it A, a sprain occurs when a ligament is stretched or torn? B, automobiles are the vehicles your parents take you to practice in? C, strains rhymes with brain and refers to a head injury? Or D, a strain occurs when tendons or muscles are pulled or stretched. Do 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 do. Did you say A and B and D? If you did, you were correct. And finally, number three. A long-standing practice for healing an injury follows the acronym RICE. What does it stand for? A. Rest, ignore, cool down, evaluate. B. Rest, ice, compression, elevation. C. Relax, immobilize, cover up, eat ice cream. Or D. Relax, immobilize, cool down, exercise when better. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. If you said B, rest, ice, compression, elevation, you are correct. Continuing with the injuries issue. Beware. Reading any further could give you nightmare fuel. You'll notice we're not including photos. Akil Mitchell, a sight for sore eyes. The basketball player got poked in the eye so badly during an Australian NBL game that his eye popped out of socket. Luckily, after a few minutes of some medical attention, it slipped back in. Kevin Ware, tibia trivia. The Louisville guard broke his tibia, landing awkwardly trying to block a shot. The compound fracture burst through the skin, revealing a lot of bone. The whole gruesome event was televised. Glenn Allen Hill, real scary. The Blue Jays outfielder had such a terrible fear of spiders that one appeared in a dream. He stumbled out of his room to escape and crashed into a glass table. It put him on a 15-day disabled list. Jason Pierre-Paul, from paw to paw. The Giants defensive end lost the index finger and part of his thumb and middle finger when a firework went off in his right hand. Major rebound. He went on to win Super Bowl 50. And now for something completely different. During the 21-year career, Cal Ripken Jr., aged remarkably well. He played in a major league record 2,632 consecutive games for the Orioles. That's more than 16 seasons without being sidelined, an amazing feat in an age when everyone seems to get injured. Otherwise, why are we doing this issue? But that's not to say Ripken, who retired in 2001 at age 41, never got hurt. When he was 340 games short of the record, he severely strained a ligament in his knee when he got caught up in a 1993 bench-clearing brawl, but he played the next night. And after setting the mark, he suffered a broken nose during a photo shoot of the 1996 All-Star game when a teammate slipped and elbowed him in the snout. But again, he played through the pain. When Ripken's streak finally ended in 1998, it was by choice. He was perfectly fit, just a little tired. Okay. Open wide. SI Kids stacked Major League Baseball's wildest ballpark eats into one massive, jaw-stretching, mouth-watering Adam Sandler warning. Do not consume without nearby Pepto. We should have eaten a snack before writing this article. Kansas City Royals, Blue Velvet Whoopie Pie. Every sandwich needs some sort of, a bread on the top and bottom to hold it together. But you know what's better than bread? Another sandwich. Kauffman Stadium's Royal Blue Sponge Cake Delicacy delivers a patty of vanilla fluff inside. Buzz just yelled at me for drooling on my keyboard. Boston Red Sox, Fenway Frank. Is there a more iconic ballpark bite than a Fenway Frank? If you conjure up the image of hot dog in your head, I bet you're picturing this absolute diva. Is the hot dog emoji based on Frank? We'll happily perpetuate that rumor. Baltimore Orioles, Warehouse Burger. Camden Yard's pretzel-burned double cheeseburger comes loaded with fried onions and a pickle de gallo with a tangy, briny flavor. And if you're blessed with Gunnar Henderson's sachet, you could retain and enjoy flecks of that flavor for days on end. Houston Astros. Daddy Mac Dog. A foot long, topped with chopped brisket, mac and cheese, barbecue sauce, and crispy dill pickles. That combination feels like an easy justification for what we're going to call the eventual Jose Al toothache. Texas Rangers Boomstick Burrito. The tortilla that enrobes this Tex-Mex confection is 26 inches in diameter. That's about the size of the tire on a Chevy Silverado. My stomach just rumbled so loud, a flock of birds flew out of a nearby tree. Pittsburgh Pirates Polish Cannonballs. These doughy bites fuse the tradition Polish staples of kielbasa, egg noodles, and cabbage with a toothsome trifecta of bacon, cheddar cheese, and herb crema dip. No way Paul Skeens can throw one of these 100 miles per hour. Toronto Blue Jays Cotton Candy Fries. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks? Yeah, no thanks, Grandpa. Rogers Center has a far superior salty sweet combo in the form of these French fries, crowned with fluffy cotton candy, drizzled with a mysterious blue sauce. But I still love you, Grandpa. Seattle Mariners, what up, corn dog? T-Mobile Park's spicy, crunchy, honey-battered fried dog on a stick comes in an electric Mariners blue. Food dye, enjoy it while it's still legal. Colorado Rockies Desert Nachos. Naysayers will tell you sugary sweet nachos are unnatural. So why do I feel like Robert Renard in The Natural when I eat them? Wait, what? Sorry, I can't focus. So hungry, must... Philadelphia Phillies, S'mores Quesadilla. The structure and width of this ooey gooey sort, so soft and chewy campfire torta, make it a prima candidate for the bottom bread of the sandwich. Look, I can't take this anymore. I'm eating it. Now, if I could only unhinge my jaw. Amir Thompson, Houston Rockets forward. In his second season, the tenacious defender improved his all-around game and helped his team to its first division title in 5 years. In Houston, nothing triggers a tongue-lashing from Coach Ime Udoka faster than a blown defensive assignment. And Amen Thompson, the Rockets' dynamic second-year swingman, seemed to collect more than his share of earfuls. General managers Raphael Stone estimates Thompson's ratio of scoring to getting yelled at by Udoka is pretty close to 1-to-1. As a rookie, Thompson would often chafe at his head coach's critiques. Sometimes he'll look at you like he's crazy mad, says Thompson. Lately, he's learned to understand, if not appreciate, the feedback. I hold him to high standards because of the things he can do, says Udoka. I don't want any bad habits. We know how good he can be. These days, the secret is out. Thompson, a long athletic dunker, had a standout sophomore season. He is scoring 14.1 per game, rebounding 8.2, and assists 3.8. Averages improved, and in January, he was named to the Western Conference's Defensive Player of the Month. All that yelling has paid off. Udoka deploys him against just about anybody, from a quick guard to a power forward. Offensively, Thompson is developing a similar versatility. When point guard Fred VanVleet missed 5 weeks in the middle of the season, Thompson took over the position. He averaged 5.9 assists per game during that stretch. When he came into the league, people were always wondering how he was going to fit in, says Kings coach Doug Christie. My man is a hooper. They have unlocked him there. The team has seen drastic improvements as well. 2 years after finishing 22-60, the Rockets went 52-30 and captured the number 2 seed in the Western Conference. And we'll finish up with Fast Facts. We have LeBron James, the NBA's all-time leading scorer, showed no signs of slowing down in 2024-25. As the Lakers won 50 games and secured the number 3 seed in the West, James averaged 24.4 points per game, the most ever by a player in his 40s. Bronny made his history, his son, by becoming the first father-son duo to appear in an NBA game together. Well, that's all we have time for. This is the NC Reading Service. This is John Ivy. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.